This is AgriPulse Open Mic. I'm your host, Jeff Nally. Our guest this week is Jeffrey Hall, Board Chairman and CEO of the Farm Credit Administration. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by Syngenta, working with farmers to meet the challenges of the day. Learn more at syngenta-us.com. AgriPulse Open Mic continues with FCA's Jeff Hall next. At Syngenta, we talk to U.S. farmers and growers every day to hear their concerns and help them meet their challenges. From research and development to create innovative products to digital solutions to reduce water use and create healthy soil. We work hand in hand with America's men and women who feed and power the world. Our highly skilled teams are at the forefront of connecting technology to utilize mobile apps, aerial imagery, and other advances to enable farmers and growers to make smart application and buying decisions for their farms. When our farmers have a successful crop, we all benefit. And Syngenta is proud to work alongside farmers to help them make the best decisions now and the future of their farm. Learn more about Syngenta and our support of the U.S. farmer online at syngenta-us.com. This is AgriPulse Open Mic. Over a century of service, the Farm Credit Administration's mission hasn't changed: to provide safe, affordable, reliable credit to the nation's farmers. But Board Chair and CEO Jeffrey Hall says the means remains most challenging, with higher input costs, increased land values, much tighter margins, and consolidation throughout the industry.
I was at the Farm Credit Council annual meeting earlier this week, and I used some of the numbers talking about before the farm credit crisis in the 80s, there were over 900 institutions. Now we're basically down to 459 different associations, but then four funding banks. All of that has changed dramatically. So the number of institutions that are getting examined by the Farm Credit Administration has changed a lot, and we've adapted just based on personnel. But what has changed more than anything else is the complexity of the farm credit system, the size of the loans that are out there. Really, the farm credit system combined is really one of the top 10 largest financial institutions in the country. When you think of, you know, $550 billion in assets and close to $450 billion in gross loans, I mean, it's remarkable how this system has grown over that period of time.
So I noted some information that your staff provided before our conversation. You're carrying 46% of the nation's farm credit. And certainly we don't have the number of producers that we did at one time. So that tells me that there are fewer people carrying more debt.
That is exactly the case. And, you know, there are multi-million dollar lines of credit that producers have anymore. I mean, you think of the size of some of the operations that are across this country. You know, it can be $100 million line of credit that they draw on just for operating expenses alone. And, you know, beyond just the actual producers, a farm credit system lends to a lot of other sort of large co-ops. You know, that's part of the mission too, is to make sure that farm credit system serves those that serve agriculture.
This past week, a number of agriculture leaders from across the country representing various commodities were before the Senate Agriculture Committee. And when I talked to Senator John Bozeman, the chairman of the Ag Committee, he said it is as if they were all written from the same script, because they each talked about the individual challenges that they're seeing in the farm economy today of higher input costs and lower returns.
That is the case. And, you know, when you look at sort of those input costs, while they have gone up, particularly if you talk about the grain sector, margins have gotten tighter. Returns in some cases are negative for some producers. Obviously, some of the federal support has gone out to help those things, but not having a farm bill leaves a little bit of uncertainty. But, you know, it's when you look, I look at like this debt cycle. So the cost of debt, the cost to service that debt has increased significantly. We've gone through really almost a decade of relatively low interest rates, whether you're buying a farm or whether it's operating cost. Those have gone, up considerably in a very short period of time, and not all producers have been able to adjust to that, repayment capacity. So it's really becoming a challenge. Now, it's not a gloom and doom scenario, but it does create a situation where we as examiners of the Farm Credit System have to pay closer attention to individual loans to make sure that things stay good. 95% of the loans are considered acceptable within the Farm Credit System. That means they're timely, everybody's getting paid. And even within that 5% that's not, there's less than 1%, which is historically a low number of non-performing loans. So, things still look good today on everybody's balance sheet, but it's looking forward to those challenges and how long this sort of period of lower margin, lower returns extends.
So from the Department of Agriculture, what about loan guarantees and the ratcheting up of expenses? Is that a factor with the Farm Credit System?
It is, obviously. We're talking about the Farm Credit System, commercial banking, FSA, guaranteed and direct loans. All of those things really play into what you're asking.
One part of the mission is ensuring the safety and soundness, but that's not the whole mission of the Farm Credit Administration.
That's true. Safety and soundness is our number one job, but also along with that, we have to make sure that those producers are getting served. So part of the mission of the Farm Credit System when it was set up as a government-sponsored enterprise is to make sure that there is an effort to reach out to all producers to give them the opportunity. Now, obviously, it's competitive. There's commercial banking. There's a lot of other independent banks that are involved in agriculture, but it is part of the mission to make sure that the Farm Credit System is out there for anybody who wants to participate.
And that seems to be more challenging, especially as the cost of farming goes up. And the safety net that we have seen since the 2018 Farm Bill, now renewed twice, those numbers don't match.
They don't. But I will address part of that in this way. What the Farm Credit System does because of its mission, it focuses a lot on young beginning and small farmers. In fact, that was something that was added to the statute several years ago. But in addition to that, our agency has made it an important emphasis to expand outreach to that particular segment. Now, that doesn't mean it's just, the system's going out trying to make loans to young beginning small farmers. They're doing additional things. There's a lot of great programs that many of these institutions implement in terms of education, giving them financial background, helping them develop business plans, and they're these non-lending things that we consider in the YBS program that sometimes are just as important as maybe interest rate concessions or those kinds of things that would help get them off the ground, because it is extremely difficult if you don't have some kind of connection or base to go into if you want to get into agriculture. I can't imagine what it would cost to start up on an operation these days. It's just got to be an incredible amount given the cost of land, given the cost of equipment and all the inputs that go into it.
Well, Jeff, if you go back to the 1980s, and I am a child of the 80s, that's when our family farm fell. There is a period of time there in the generations of farmers that there wasn't any new farmers. People weren't coming back to the farm because they couldn't come back to the farm. And some would suggest that we're at a point now that that is a risk, and whether we can afford in the soundness of our food production system to lose a generation of producers.
I think that's exactly right, and I'm a product of that same generation. When I got out of college in 1979, my thought was to come back and farm. But given the situation that, we didn't have a large land base to go back to and the challenges of high interest rates, it was a point where I decided rather than to go deeper, it was time to do something else. And I think that was, for a couple of decades, farmers were not encouraging their kids to come back to the farm because it was so tough. I think we've gone through ebbs and flows of where that's the case. We saw a period where there were more people coming back to the farm. But I think just given the current environment, it's going to be a bigger challenge. But I think the Farm Credit System does a good job trying to give that support, to give people an opportunity, if they do want to get a start, that they can.
The other side is keeping farmers on the farm. And I think of the patriarch and the matriarch that have worked their lives to build the farm to where it is now. They've survived the challenges that have taken place up to point, but they realize that in this year ahead and perhaps the year after that, there's going to be a degradation of equity. So why would you want to stay in the business if you're going to be losing money, especially towards your retirement? This is a dangerous time to bring young people on board or to keep people in the land.
I understand why you're asking that, but I also understand, too, that there are those that are willing to take on those kinds of challenges. And sometimes those are the ones that, you know, they understand how to do things different. I mean, when you look at the technology changes, when you look at so many new opportunities out there that exist, you know, the consumer demand has changed for over the years to specialty items. I mean, there are niche, and, you know, I understand that niche is not going to save agriculture, but there are opportunities out there for those that really want to dig in and give it a chance that I think are still exist. So I'm not as negative longer term. I know there's going to be bigger challenges, but I know that, you know, sometimes when you take on those bigger challenges, the rewards are even greater.
I'm going back with those leaders before the Senate Ag Committee, and they were decrying the need for a farm bill, obviously, but they were especially calling for having the Secretary of Agriculture in place at the Department of Agriculture for lots of reasons. But one of those, the economic assistance package, the $9.8 billion that came from the latter hours of the 118th Congress, to get that flowing out to producers, because I recall Zippy Duvall, the president of the American Farm Bureau, quoting more than once, 20 to maybe even 30% of their producers, according to their data, weren't going to qualify for an operating loan for 2025. And we're getting close to planting season.
Exactly. And I had not heard that speech, but I'm not surprised at those numbers. And I think back to your original point is getting that Secretary of Agriculture in place. And, you know, she was cleared unanimously through committee at the beginning of the week, and it's the quicker she gets in place, the better. I'm going up to the USDA Outlook Forum in a couple of weeks, and I sure hope that by that time she's confirmed in place and is able to stand there in front of the crowd and say, here are the things that USDA can do and will do to help support agriculture.
Word we had heard from the majority leader was that perhaps in this week ahead that Brooke Rollins would have her vote. Also, perhaps RFK Jr. having his vote as well before the Senate. So two different circumstances and two different agencies, but the Senate obviously working through a lot of circumstances. You know, Jeff, in Washington, it seems also a paradox going on, because in the House and the Senate, they're talking about budget reconciliation, cutting funding. And on the agriculture side, the ag committees were looking at nutrition programs and agriculture programs that are not cheap. And they're not going to be cheap, apparently, if they're going to be effective. So with regard to agriculture, Washington's working in two different directions.
And I think what complicates it a little bit more were some of the things that were done late last year dealing with nutrition programs that could impact the ability to bring on enough votes to get a farm bill passed. I think that adds a complexity to it that, you know, some are probably talking about. I don't know how big the concern is, but I think it can be an issue that if they can get enough votes, because there's not that many that just vote solely on farm-related programs when it comes to USDA's budget.
Jeff, I had the opportunity, again, prior to the interview, to look back at your quarterly report on conditions in the ag and the farm credit system, and also your January funding conditions. A broad question, and then let's zero into it. How are land values and how are equipment values holding up during this downturn that we've seen? Because that equity, that capital equity, is so important to the operations of farms.
Well, we are seeing softness in the land market. I mean, it's some of the higher quality land still sells at a pretty high price. But I think once you get into the, I would call it medium or lower quality farmland, those prices have softened significantly. So that hits exactly at your collateral that you're putting up for any kind of loans. Equipment, you know, obviously is just tremendously expensive. I think still producers are able to make decisions on upgrading equipment, make it last another year longer, that you're probably going to see some of the equipment manufacturers holding on to inventory a little bit longer. But that still doesn't mean that the cost of operating has gone down any whatsoever. It's just, it's more on the asset side that we're seeing some of these questions.
Looking at from some of your summaries, since January 2020, debt has increased almost 53%, and from 2023, you're up another almost 8%.
Well, and part of that's seasonal. I mean, we're going, as you said, into the period when we're seeing operating loans. Probably an operating loan from last year is going to have to increase significantly this year for any individual producer just because of the expenses that are there. So that number is going to increase, and that's, you know, just because we're getting ready to put a crop in the ground. But, you know, you're also looking at the livestock side of the ledger, and things there are, with cattle numbers where they are, there's some profitability there. Feed costs are down a little bit. So, you know, one of the great things about the farm credit system itself is just the total diversification that exists. I mean, from California to Maine, there's just the number of crops, and that really bolsters the whole underlying balance sheet of the farm credit system.
Kenneth Hartman, the president of the National Corn Growers Association, reiterating in a conversation with me last week and then again before the Senate Ag Committee, we need demand, whether that's exports, whether that's renewable fuels, whether that's maintaining the livestock herd, from the crop side of the business, a real need for demand.
Exactly. And I think I saw a clip that showed exports for 2024 were up considerably for agricultural products. So that is one good sign, but it's also a volatile market. You know, we've seen demand ebb and flow over the years and have a great impact on prices. I think right now we're seeing some of the grain prices increase a little bit. I think that's primarily due to that demand side of the equation. The question is, how long can it hold and how long will it hold? And a lot of that has to do with the general economy. World economy has to do with the value of the dollar. There's just so many things that go into that. But I think we're seeing some strength and hope to see that strength continue, at least on the demand side.
Jeff, I don't want to put you in a position of lobbying, but then again, there is the point of education and calling a spade a spade. What are things that this administration, what are things that this Congress need to replace or update of regulations or laws that are in place that are inhibiting you from perhaps doing the best that you can to help agriculture in this situation now?
Well, I spoke at the Farm Credit Council annual meeting, and one of the things that I talked about is responsible regulation. And I think one of the things this administration has put at the top of their list is trying to make sure that any regulations that are issued actually make sense, not just issuing regulations for the sake of adding more onto the cost of doing business. It's sensible regulation. And that's sort of been the approach that we've taken at the Farm Credit Administration. There are absolutely times when we need to issue new rules related to something that might be capital, that we want to see capital ratios within institutions bolstered. And so, you know, we do take those kinds of things into consideration when we put out these rules and regulations. So it's not a matter of just numbers. It's a matter of smart rules that we try to. Now, on a broader scheme, I think that applies to the general business economy. Because, I mean, think of the consumer side of it. We want to make sure that, you know, all of the U.S. economy is strong, because that demand comes from consumers that agriculture relies on.
You don't operate in a vacuum of the Fed. Does your crystal ball have any guidelines of what you expect this year, or how their moves over the past few months with lower rates have impacted you?
Rates, I think, and some of the estimates coming out that we've seen from Bloomberg and other who do surveys on where they expect rates to go in the Federal Reserve really show that it's probably going to be a pretty steady year. You know, we went into early 2024 thinking there were going to be 6 rate increases. We ended up with, what, 2? And one of them was 0.5% and 0.25%. So predictions don't always come true. But so much of this is going to depend on the economy in general. Jobs, that's a big factor, where the Federal Reserve feels like that they need to slow down the economy or speed it up. So that's I can't even predict what they're going to do. And if these people that have been doing it for a lot longer than I have can't make those kind of predictions, I'm not going to. But I think we're going to see more, I hope we see, a more stable interest rate environment going forward, because I think what really hurt more than anything else was the speed that they changed the rates back 2 years ago that really caught people off guard. I mean, it really was a dramatic change in a short period of time, and I think you saw that in some of the banking crisis that was in March of, what, 23, when some of those banks just were not able to adjust to that interest rate change as quickly as they should have.
This may be a leading question, but I'm going to offer anyway. You've mentioned that land values have softened. Are you concerned about that yet? How much further can they soften before this becomes an issue for collateral and operating loans?
Well, I will tell you that what we have seen from the Farm Credit System is a cautious attitude about when you're extending a loan on a land purchase, expecting to have a bigger down payment just because of that possibility of land prices declining. So they are taking a cautious approach, and that, as a regulator, we appreciate, because we know what the 80s brought us, and we want to avoid making sure that that producers are not here with getting upside down on loans in a hurry just because land values fall. Now, we follow the Federal Reserve closely. I mean, we get a lot of great information out of the Chicago Fed and the Kansas City Fed on land values. And, you know, they usually don't offer too many predictions. It's more sort of looking back or current estimates. But we're not expecting any type of dramatic change anytime in the near term.
In 2025, there are some areas that you mentioned that were key that FCA would be focusing on. Do you care to delve into some of those and how important they may be?
What we do is, you know, for those system institutions, every year we sort of come out with an oversight plan. We let them know a little bit about some of the specific things that we're going to target. First and foremost, we've mentioned that, you know, having adequate capital. As the system has grown, we talked about a little earlier, considerably in the last 3 or 4 years, is making sure you have capital levels to support that kind of growth in debt. A couple of other things that we really are focusing on is the area of innovation. We keep hearing about artificial intelligence and how that can be applied. And we're not encouraging or discouraging innovation when it related to AI, but we're asking them to be responsible whenever they take a look at what AI can do for them. So that's a big key going forward. We don't want to see them taking risks they don't necessarily need to. You know, and governance. Because we have fewer institutions in the Farm Credit System than we've ever had, the leadership and the governance of those organizations is even more critical to make sure the board members have the skill set to make sure that that institution stays safe and sound. And we have people that are in leadership positions within those organizations and management, making sure they understand agriculture and they understand the finances related to agriculture. And I always sort of say, you know, agriculture is different. Agriculture finance is different. So that means that you need people that understand the ag side of the business whenever you have examiners going into these institutions to put those two pieces together in the puzzle. So they're doing a good job in examining the institutions to make sure they understand not only the finance side, but the importance of agriculture.
Well, Jeff Hall, I thank you for your friendship over both of our careers and congratulate you on the position of being chairman and CEO. Thanks for taking time to be with us on this edition of Open Mic. Jeff, it is Open Mic, and today you got the last word.
Thank you, Jeff. It is a privilege, and it's, you know, our friendship goes back several decades, and I've always appreciated that. For the Farm Credit Administration, our role is to make sure that the farm credit system stays safe and sound, and Farm Credit System itself has that same role to make sure that it's meeting its mission. We come at it from two different directions, but we have that same goal, is making sure that this Farm Credit System is around to serve agriculture for many more years to come. Ours as a regulator is to make sure that these institutions stay safe and sound, that the entire system itself, because we've seen mergers, we have to make sure that the big picture Farm Credit System is doing its role, it's fulfilling its mission, it's reaching out to those individuals who may have not been reached before by the Farm Credit system, making those loans available, underserved communities. All of those things are vital to make sure that agriculture continues in this country. And our role with the Farm Credit Administration is to make sure that that mission is met each and every day, and it continues for many years to come.
Our thanks to Jeffrey Hall, Board Chairman and CEO of the Farm Credit Administration, our guest this week on Open Mic. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by Syngenta, working with farmers to meet the challenges of the day. Learn more at syngenta-us.com. For AgriPulse, I'm Jeff Nellie.